Thinky, thirsty, and over 30. Welcome to Afternoon Army, a safe place for grown Army to dish and discover BTS. We are four ladies who just wanted to know their names and now can explain the meaning of Lachimolala. New to Army? No problem. Come along as we explore all the important business that Bangtan throws our way. Join us on the last Tuesday of every month as we hop in the clown car and drive to the circus. And stay tuned for shorter, snack-sized episodes between hosts and various correspondents. Because one thing we know is that content, well, it just keeps on coming. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, friends. Hi, everybody out there.
We're all together. There's four of us here. It's the banner night, okay?
We made it.
2024 doesn't allow for these moments very often so far.
It's true. And I was thinking today, I actually talked about this with someone else, that we are moving into April. And I keep thinking we're at the end of April, and we're not. At the time of recording, it's April 9th. But I keep being like, I keep just being like, June's just around the corner. And, you know,
I feel him on the horizon.
Yeah, I feel the sun is rising, and it sounds like Super Tuna.
It's going to be a great
day. I don't know what that analogy is.
I don't know.
It does.
Can we chart that in June?
I think it's our solemn duty to chart Super Tuna for the entire month of June. I think number one billboard.
I love this. Yes.
Can you imagine him getting in the car to go back to Hybe? Like, they pick him up. He's in the car. They're like, we're going to drive you to the office so you can, like, you know, meet, blah, blah, blah. And he, like, opens it up and he's like, wait, it's charting? And they're like, yes.
He would be like,
actually,
oh,
it is. Congratulations.
Can I just say, at J-Hope's album release party in Chicago, the DJ played Super Tuna, and it was so fun, and people got so excited that he played it immediately again, just because it's so short, you know, and everybody was just doing the dance and freaking out. It was really fun.
I just still love that he broke Taylor Swift's sweep of, like, the top, like, it wasn't Billboard, it was like Apple Music, but it was like
it was iTunes or something.
Or iTunes, yeah. It was like the top, like, 10, and he was like number 6. So it was like Taylor, Super Tuna by Jin, Taylor. It's the best thing that ever happened.
It's so funny.
Also, before we start, I was thinking today, I was in the car driving to go get my kids from school, and I was just thinking about, like, what did I do before K-pop? And, like, K-drama. And, like, I know I was a happy person. Like, here's the thing. I know I was a happy person. Like, I wasn't an unhappy person. I don't think I was as excited. Because when I tell you that, like, every morning when I wake up, the first thing I do is open Instagram, because I know there's going to be a gift of some kind. There's going to be some K-pop gift in the world. I'm either getting a Bangtan bomb of a behind the scenes I'd never seen before. I'm going to get new photos. Somebody's dropping a song. TXT is going on tour. Like, 17's doing... Seriously, like, it to me, I just today was like, what did I do before that was this exciting? I don't know. Like, I don't know what I was doing.
I have moments of glee at least once a day, even on the worst days. You know what I mean? It's a really great experience.
So something that's happened to me recently, because, you know, I do feel like we're in, like, the long nuclear winter of enlistment, da 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 da, is something I did not expect to happen, but I directly attribute to K-pop, is I decided, and I feel like I decided this almost like, well, let me just unpack it first. I decided that I'm going to like baseball now. And I've been through this whole situation where I was like, I'm going to like a sport. I'm going to get into it, like a local sport. So San Francisco Giants. I was like, I'm going to get merch. I'm going to wear merch. I'm going to go to the games. I'm going to, like, be with other people. And it's not the same, like, it's not the same joy, but it's like having, like, an iced tea instead of a cocktail. Like, it's still okay. Like, it's not bad. Like, there's some lemon in it. And so I went to the, like, Oracle Stadium, and it's, like, on the water. And it was just fun to be like,
it's not the, it, again, it's not the same, but there were elements of, you know, you're in a collective space, everyone's there for like kind of like common purpose. And I think in the past they used to be like, what does it all mean though? What does it really matter? And who really cares? And I was just like, I can get over that now. Like, I think in the past, like that was like my hang up was like, what do I care if these people play a game and they win or lose? Like, I don't care. I'm not playing that game. Like, what do I care? And that, not a judgment to anyone else. It was just like my own internal, like, I just am not interested as a result. And then I was like, no, I'm actually here because it's fun to just be part of this, like, bigger community thing. And there's just like, I don't go to church anymore. When I was little, I was like a Catholic and I went to church every Sunday. But in some ways, like coming together for like something, it just feels like this is just for something fun. Like it doesn't have to mean anything serious. We're not here in like some Stalinist situation, like pumping our fists in front of some fascist, whatever. Like this just feels like just something that's like, this is just for fun, and that's okay. And these people are good at what they do, and they've got cute butts, and why not? Like, good for me.
Are you gonna go sit in center field next time?
I believe center field would be a very appeal. I was in, let's see, left field this time. Center field looks even better. I will say, Lee Jung-hoo is a center fielder from Korea on the Giants. Megan did introduce me to his Instagram account. He's not on a track. The problem I have with him is that I'd really made my floor. Like I was like, if I'm gonna be thirsty about someone, I mean, JK already feels like it's like right on the line of like, is this okay? Is this not okay? Lee Jung Hoo's 15 or no, 15, 25. He's not, not 15,
That just
25.
wait, that'll just be like a year from now.
Yeah. No, he's
As we continue
25.
our downward slide.
But the issue that I like, the thing is that I like had in my rationalization though was like, I was like, but he's like a whole man too. Like,
Yeah. Okay,
he's not a baby. Like, he's not like TXT.
No. He won the Golden Glove in Korea. And here's how I know. I'm a born and bred Giants fan, like my family, generations of Giants fans. So I've been following the Giants Instagram account for years. And I was just scrolling one day and they're like, we just signed this new player from Korea. And I was like, stop the presses. My two worlds have just collided. My two worlds colliding. And then he does like what every other star in Korea does. He's on the magazines. He does the brand, partnerships. So he's got all of this like media for him, but he actually did win like a huge award in Korea. And so now he's here playing for the Giants. He signed and everybody's excited. And one of my favorite things, just I know we need to get to recording, but one of my favorite things is during spring training, they did this thing where they went and asked the players for the rest of your life if you had to eat hot food and drink hot drinks, cold food, cold drinks, or t room temp drinks, room temp food. And they asked like all the players. And he walked up and they asked him, and his translator translated it. And he said, tteokbokki. And I was like, that is amazing. And like, no one else in the comments was excited about it except me. I was like, you guys, get on board. What are we doing?
I think that's really fun. Your worlds did collide. I think that's great.
And
I think
yeah,
sports,
Megan put me onto it. I was just like, you know
that's
what? For this
great.
year, why not just do it? It gives me something fun to do. I can do it with my family. It's not illegal. And, there's just like, but it was the sense of being in a big space with just other people who were just kind of like stoked. And I was like, oh, like I can get this out. It's not, it again, it's not the same, but it is adjacent enough that I was like, I will take it in 2024.
Absolutely. That's right. Take the joy where you can get it. I think sports and other things that we get passionate about really fill, as we get deeper into them, at least, fill kind of an identity vacuum, especially for Americans. I think that was left by things like, for many of us at least, our childhood religious identity, our ethnic identity, all those kinds of things that it's hard to hold on to as an American. All right, well, we are here to talk about my favorite subject,
Yes, take.
which
And
is
what could that be, Tanya?
what could
What
that
could that
possibly
be?
be? Who could that possibly be? Who has an album out right now? It's J-Hope. It's Hope on the Street and a documentary, and it's amazing. So we're here to talk about it because it is very timely. We even have episodes. The last couple episodes are dropping this week, tomorrow and the next day as we are speaking. And it, I don't know, for me, it's like, I'll just start by saying it's my dream project for him. When I first became Army and then started to become his fan as well, in addition to being Army, and just enjoyed his dance so much. But I always, you know, like a lot of people, I often felt like he was kind of holding back, or just, you know, kind of holding back so that he didn't, for the sake of the group, like they all do to some extent, right? And I always thought, oh, it'd be so nice to see him do his own dance, like do his own kind of improvisational street style dance, and just kind of go back to the early days where he would teach fans about it and things like that. And here we are, he did it. So it's a total dream come true. It really is. How have your reactions been so far?
For me, it's just coolness envy. Like, how do you get to be that cool? Because it's just, it's really, it's cool in such a not try hard way, which actually makes it cool. Like, there's
that
a lot
makes
of things
it legit cool.
Yeah, that makes it like legit cool. And there's a layer of like humility and humbleness, and like the self and self-reflection is just hot. And like wanting to know yourself is hot. And so I think like all of that is just kind of, it feels very authentic, I think, which just makes it cool. It's not that he picked something like, you know, I'm going after the trappings of some like the biggest and the brightest and like the most showy, whatever, just to kind of like cash in on something. It feels very genuine and kind of interesting to unpack it. And then when you do, you're like, damn, you're just so cool, Toby.
How about you, Megan?
I was just going to say, like, what I really liked about the documentary, we can talk about the music after because the music just blows my mind. But what I really like about the documentary is that he's at, it's like so, such ease. This is the thing about J-Hope. He just makes it look so fucking easy. And I love it. I was watching today again, like I was going back and watching some of my favorite parts and of what's out so far. And I just love that he, it seems to me that he woke up and just put on that brown suit and was like, I'm gonna go dance in my brown suit. I look amazing. I feel great. I'm just gonna fucking dance. And then the same when he's wearing that yellow jacket, like that's my favorite episode so far, is the lock unlock episode. And he is just so at ease with what he's doing. And he's with these like other amazing dancers that are like popping and locking, they're moving and grooving. And you can see in his face and like in, you can see the wheels turning. He's like, okay, I gotta match this energy. I'm gonna match this, these movements. He's one step ahead always. And that is what I love about him. Everything he does, it, like Leah said, it's so cool because you know that he worked really hard on this and it's like curated, but he makes it so it's like, doesn't seem curated. It's not over the top. It's not in your face. It's not, look how amazing J-Hope is. It's look how hard J-Hope has worked. Look what he's done. Look what he's doing. The other thing is, I just love that he's sitting there casually talking with a glass of wine in his hand, which just sent me like, I was like, yes, J-Hope, drink your Chardonnay, babe.
Absolutely. How about you, Allison?
What I loved about it is there's always a jumping off point for like research and exploration for me. Like, it opens so many like doors of curiosity of like, oh, I don't know much about this. Like, now I want to know about this particular dancer and I want to know more about his history with who does he bring with him on all the
Boogaloo Kin.
Yeah, Boogaloo. And like, I want to know more about that person and their history. And that's the fun part of BTS for me, is that it's just like, I want to know this and I want to know this. And I go off on all these little tangents, and just watching him move when he was dancing to Still Life was mind blowing to me. That's my favorite part of what is out right now of the series, is his dance to Still Life is just incredible. And I am not a dancer. Like, I can't move my body to save my life, but like watching somebody at that level is just really, really fun. So that's been my favorite part of it.
I agree, Allison. I feel like Still Life finally got the limelight she deserved. And who better to do it
Yeah.
than J-Hope? Like, who better to honor the babe that is Still Life than J-Hope himself, you know?
Absolutely. Going back to just a couple of random thoughts from things you've said, how about that moment when he's in the brown suit that you mentioned, Megan, and he's just bebopping down the hallway? That killed me. Oh my
But
God.
also, prior to that, he has his camera. He's in his hotel room in front of the mirror with
Taking
his
pictures of his
camera,
fine self.
taking pictures of himself in that suit. He's like posing. Like,
It's so cute.
it's so amazing. Like, again, J-Hope just, he's, this is him. Like, I can't express that enough. Like, what you see with him is what you get. He, this is not a fan service. This is not a, I have two, I mean, he does kind of have two personas because he can be very serious and like very like Sunshine Hobie, obviously. But like when you're getting him in these type of situations, I mean, I feel like he just woke up and was like, it's the brown suit today. That's what I'm doing with the hat and the whole
It was
thing. They
just the
have his
feeling,
camera.
yeah. He felt that that was what would fit, and yeah, I really fit. He said even he's trying to get help us let us if we want to get a chance to really know him, and I feel like this was very conscious, and it's what I think a lot of his fans have really wanted for a long time because he's such a good performer and he's their performance leader, and he's just playing that role. Not that he's not genuine and authentic, but he's working so hard and has that deep sense of responsibility for what's going on with the group. And this is the first time I feel like I'm really getting to learn from him what's important to him, what makes him tick, you know, just all those kinds of things. It's really a gift. And I love it's so him, I think, that he chose to do this and tell his own story, but to elevate other people at the same time, to pay homage to the roots of the music, the roots of the dance, and his role models and teachers. The fact that his teacher has come along, his teacher from his soul, you know, trainee days is the one who's accompanying him on this journey. The music is so carefully chosen for the play. I've been doing this series on my personal account, this Hobie account that I have, and just kind of tracking the history and the meaning of the different, especially the history and context of the different songs that he's been choosing to use in the series. And each one is so carefully chosen to fit the place, the time, the feeling, the artist, you know, it's really incredible. And the fact that he kind of went out of his comfort zone to do this, he said, because he, you know, we know what a planner he is. I mean, and he threw this together pretty fast. And I was kind of impressed that he stretched himself in that way, like went outside of his comfort zone with being a planner who has to have everything be perfect and kind of just rolled with it. I thought was a pretty cool growth thing for him that he showed.
If I had one wish for this documentary and this project of J-Hope, it would really be that he gets the hip hop respect that he deserves. Because I have hip hop roots. Like, that's one of my favorite genres. It has been since I was a younger person. And he has someone on Instagram, I put in our in on our stories if you had any questions for us, and someone pointed out the fact that he is that Beverly Brown track. What is it called? Love You, Yes, or something. And you know, he is showing us that he has this also has this depth of knowledge about music, about sound, about hip hop, about R&B. And I just don't think that that is as respected in the West because they are a K-pop boy band, quote unquote. And so I just really hope that my hope for this documentary, my hope for J-Hope, is that this shows the West, more people in the West has a little bit stronger influence, especially in those hip-hop spaces. Like, this is a well thought out band, you guys. Like, these are well thought out idols, artists, and musicians. This isn't just something they threw together because they look good or they can sound good. They sound good. They look good. They are inherently good. Like, they are good at what they do, whether it's dancing, singing, rapping, whatever, making documentaries, making music, producing music. So, like, everything that you're saying, Tanya, I totally agree with. And then to take it a step further is just to say, I just really hope that he gets those accolades he deserves because
I
he's
do
just
too.
so good at what he does. But listening, like, this soundtrack for this documentary is just like
It's
amazing. Like,
impeccable. It's
yes,
impeccable.
it's perfect. And if you have, if you like anything with like an R&B tip, if you like anything with a hip hop edge, if you like anything that's a little bit funky, a little bit like funky spice, what I call it, like, this is it. And so I really hope that people can recognize that, and not just the people that love him, like fans like us, but people outside of the box that are gonna find him on the Billboard. He's like number five on Billboard. They're gonna go, hey, maybe I should listen to this. Maybe I should look into this a little bit more. Maybe I should explore a little bit more instead of just keeping my, you know, my bias in my mind about K-pop. Do you know? So, like, I'm really hope I'm hopeful for that.
He gained a lot actually of cred with hip hop by collaborating with J. Cole on Jack in the Box. And now I feel like he's getting recognition and credibility in the street dance world by working with all these huge people and getting recognized by them. And of course, Bulu Kin was very instrumental in that and in reconnecting him to that world, which I kind of get the sense that he had gotten a little bit separated from because he's been so busy with BTS, and he missed it and wanted to go back. So yeah, I know. I think it's going to happen. I think that's really great for the group and for him and for the Korean music and dance world too, to get, because it's got to be the most amazing music scene in the world right now. So vibrant, so diverse, so many different genres, so many different artists, way beyond even idol groups. And I really hope that it gets more and more recognition. And that I can see as I've been kind of studying the music that's been coming out with each of the episodes, because I don't know as much about dance, even though I've been loving that part too. But I've been studying the music that's been coming out, and he has been, like I said, he's been connecting, using the songs and the artists to connect to the place and the time and the kind of feeling that he's going for. But he's also, in each episode, it's like he's carefully promoting favorite artists from the place that he's visiting, but also Korean artists and also other Western artists or just artists from other parts of the world that he respects. And so he's like, it's very carefully done so that not only, so it's all very relevant, but he's also taking these opportunities to promote Korean musicians as well that aren't as known but are very highly respected in their industry. Well, how he's been talking a lot in the documentary about what dance means to him and how you can learn about life through dance. And the kinds of, he's been making a lot of kind of, or drawing a lot of sort of metaphors, I guess, between different kinds of dance and the kinds of lessons he's been learning in life, and using the dance styles as a metaphor for that, and learning through his body what those kinds of things can mean and how to do them. Lock and Lock being a great example that he talked about. Did that bring up anything for any of you all? What's your connection to dance or not? And what does that mean for you? What about you, Megan? Because your family's really heavily involved in dance.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say my daughters competitively dance. And so when I fell into the BTS rabbit hole, I would always tell my girls, like, make J-Hope proud. Let's do it for J-Hope because, you know, Mr. Dance Captain. But dance is such a beautiful thing, and it is such a great way to express emotion. It's such a great way to express, like, your personality. And I you can see in J-Hope that all of these styles of dance have influenced him in a different way. He carries a different history with everyone. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that he really honors that. But I just love the joy J-Hope, when he is dancing, it is never work for him. Even when he's in dance captain mode, it is not work for him. He finds such joy in what he does, and
Do you
it
remember
leaves
that
him.
moment in the Paris episode when Boogaloo can, they're in the restaurant and he turns to him and he says, "Stop dancing with your face."
Yes, because he's just so joyful about it. And like when you really love something, you are very joyful for it. There are a lot of dancers. We see a lot of dancers all the time. We have a dance competition coming up next weekend, and you will see that a lot of the times the dancers that place that get high marks, they're very emotional dancers because the dance has to not only reflect what their body is doing, but it has to really reflect what they're doing, what their emotion is. And I really love that. One of my favorite parts, like I said, episode three or the episode Lock Unlock, I don't know what number it is. That is like, that really sticks out to me because there is this part in there where it's him, Boogaloo Kim, and Lock, what is his name? I can't remember his name. The other
Lock
guy.
Woong, Lock
Yeah.
Woong.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they meet up in like, I don't even know what it is, like underneath like the train station or something. And they're dancing to Rapper's Delight. And when
Wasn't
I tell
that when
you,
that song came on, I freaked.
me
That's so
too,
classic.
because Rapper's Delight is like the first rap song. Like it literally, it's like the first, it was like the first time anyone did anything like that and sampled music. So like, first of all, I'd like lost it. I was like, you're kidding. I saw it on Instagram and I thought it was fake. Like I saw someone just put that music to it and the comments were like, no, like they're really dancing to it. And I was like, holy shit. Like there's no way.
So fantastic, so iconic.
Yes, but like the other thing, so they're in the joy that they all have, you can see the joy in their faces. They're having so much fun doing it. But the other thing too, that really stuck out for me about that was, is that for people, like everyone always questions like older army, right? Like, oh, you're older army. How can these like old ladies, quote unquote old ladies, I'm one, so I can say that. Why do they like BTS? Because BTS reminds us of Rapper's Delight, y'all. Like
Exactly.
that's what we're living. Like we
J-Hope's
grew up.
soul is the same age as my soul.
Yes, we grew up with Rapper's
Okay.
Delight.
Yeah.
And now here he is dancing to Rapper's Delight in this documentary. And like, we're losing our ever loving minds about it, which we
Yeah.
should because
His
he,
soul was here, his body came later.
yes. Like he told that guy in the restaurant, he was like, I was 2 years old. I was like, J-Hope, you absolutely did not tell him that right now. When he said he was dancing in 96, he's like, I was only 2 years old. Anyway,
It's so
as
cute to
far,
see him be the maknae.
yeah, as far as dancing goes though, like it's a beautiful art. Everyone does it beautifully. And like, I know this is J-Hope's hour, but like somebody needs to talk to Jimin and be like, okay, now you go back to your dancing roots and let's get all that ballet and modern dance training out here and let's make a documentary. Cause I want to see that. Like I want to see all of it. Like I want to
I was
see how
actually, yeah.
everybody evolved like this, you know,
I
cause
was hoping that
everyone.
this is Jimin, which he had started doing right before he left with the little hashtag, "This is Jimin," is going to
Oh,
be
yeah.
some kind of a prelude to that maybe someday, I hope.
Because it would be interesting to see, because we're seeing all these. This is what makes up Hobi. Like this is what is making up J-Hope, and it would be really cool to see this unfold for other members as well. Don't have to have it, don't need it, but I. J
I think.
also, why is it, I know Leah, you guys talked about like chicken nugget episode, and you don't want to ever talk about chicken nuggets ever again. But why is J-Hope a boneless wing? Man has no bones in his body. Boneless wing J-Hope. Okay. That's all I could think about every time I watched him move his arms. I was like, what? I don't understand how that, what is the physics on that? I don't understand.
I think too is, look, I would say that like the props for this that I would give to my personal taste is that it was like nostalgia done right. So there have been some things with like the whole collective BTS that like just hadn't been as yet to come, I think, is like about as much nostalgia as I can kind of handle in one package, right? Like I think that you look at the music video and like the callbacks to everything, like it's never going to be like the song of my heart, but I was like, okay, like it is a moment to kind of be like, that was like there, you know, there was a reason behind that. But then I feel like from there, we kind of like moved into like some spaces where we were kind of just like trading on some just like take two is just never going to be it for me. And so there's just like some things like within that that I've just kind of felt like they just felt like pastel Easter eggs and not, and again, if these are the things you love, like love them. I am not saying that anyone's wrong for not loving them. I'm just saying for me, it was not like they didn't lock in as much for me. But when I see this, it feels as if it's nostalgia done in a way that feels interesting to me. And I think in some way, and I'm like, well, why is that? And I think it is because it's really personal, and it is like this was a passion project, and that kind of shines through. So I don't feel like it was like, hi, one morning woke up and was like, J-Hope, today we want to do this with you. And like, this is your schedule. And like, this is the package that you're going to be in. Like, this was very much something that like he kind of was like, I think the locations, the whole thing obviously was kind of like his baby brainchild. And
He even directed the episodes.
yeah, okay, so there we
I
go.
mean, this
And
is his project from start to finish. Absolutely.
yeah, and then like the centering also, like where obviously he is the main character, but then we are giving like Boogaloo Kim and like other people, like we're having a lot of homages and that kind of, you know, these are the things that were influential to me, like the older music or the, you know, the Hyungs who came before, things like that. And so to me, I just feel like it is an exercise in nostalgia, but in a fun way. And we are kind of in this nostalgia era because we're not in a position to be creating like a lot. And this is interesting because we get new content out of it too, right? There's new songs that came out, there's a new album that's come out. And so in some ways it is kind of like pushing the needle forward on like what we can expect in the future of J-Hope. But what I feel like it was in some ways was like restructuring the foundation so that we can see kind of like what's going to build from here. And so I think that like he's been like doing, we're doing some construction at our house right now. And so I feel like this was like kind of a bit of a construction process to like
Yeah.
go back, kind of like pull up some of the stuff that maybe hasn't been feeling like it's fitting the identity that he's having now as like an
Yeah.
older man who, not older
Yeah.
man, but like, you know, like in, yeah,
No,
like somebody
true.
growing
He's
up and
all grown.
maturing.
He's a grown ass man now. Yeah.
Yeah. And who's kind of being like, okay, so what are the things I want to keep in this like new era that I'm building, and what are the things I'm releasing? And I'm very, very encouraged to see that what he's kept and kind of to see what he's going to build out from here.
I agree. And I think, yeah, Jack in the Box was about saying, he was redefining himself, saying, I can do this myself, proving himself, and also rebranding himself as a grown world artist. And then this is, I think you described it so nicely, you know, kind of he's looking back, he's showing his foundation and kind of rebuilding his foundation and figuring out what the future is going to be about. And he already said there's going to be a part two. He alluded to that in one of the episodes already. And of course, the album is called Part One. And so I think, yeah, this is the foundation. He's finding himself again, like you said, so well, and building that foundation back under himself to do whatever's next. His that 6 month plan that keeps me up at night that's coming after he gets out of the military.
It's interesting to me because also Jack in the Box to me felt like really exploring the dark because he is such like the light, or you know, like he is the sunshine of the group and the J-Hope, I'm your hope. And so I felt like there was a lot of like examination of the darkness a bit in Jack in the Box, and I feel like that's not here necessarily. I almost feel like it's almost like this just feels like a person, like not really like I have to like segment myself and be like, what does it mean to be a happy person? What does it mean to be a sad person? What does it mean? You're just like, now we're just kind of like this integrated, more whole person. And I think that's cool too.
And it's also this kind of interim period. I mean, even one of the album versions is even called Interlude. He's in a time of transition, which you alluded to so nicely before, where he's figuring out what he's about, where he's come from, what he's going to be about in the future. And these songs, if you look at each of them, they're about the life lessons that he feels like he has learned and is learning through the dance and the kinds of struggles that he's having right now. So it is very autobiographical. And I can't wait for the really high quality lyric translations to come out, so that, like from Dulcet and others, so that we can dive into the kinds of things that he's talking about even more. And I'm sure it'll tie together nicely with the documentary. This has brought up a lot of stuff for me too. I had asked that question a few minutes ago about like how he talks about the kinds of lessons that he's learning or has learned through dance, what it's taught him and what it can teach people. And I was thinking about it, like, what's my relationship with it? Because I have a very uneasy relationship with dance, because I've always been or have thought of myself as kind of an awkward person. Like, I always avoided it when I was younger. Had a lot of some significant childhood trauma, which can kind of separate your mind and your body. You know, they don't talk to each other very well, and so I was awkward. And I think now it helped me a lot, actually, because I looked back on it and I was like, but I started dancing not well. It doesn't need to be good, right? It's just dancing. I started taking some classes and just doing it a little bit more on my own in my 40s. And now I'm in my 50s. I just kind of do it on and off. And this has really helped me because I looked back and I was like, well, why did I have such an uneasy relationship with it as a young person? And I think it's because it has been helping me to heal the rift between my mind and my body. And I wasn't ready for that when I was younger. It was too much. I didn't want that. I wasn't ready for that to happen. And so this is so it's been kind of profound for me in that way, not just as his fan, but just kind of thinking about the kind of role that has had for me and could have for me if I keep with it. It also made me think of the kind of dance that I really love. And I've only taken a couple classes, but I want to take more, even though I'm terribly awkward and I can't do anything and I'm just flail around, is
Stop, stop,
flamenco.
stop.
No,
You're
it's
not
true,
allowed.
but it's
No,
okay. It's okay.
I know, but you're not
I can
allowed.
accept it, but
No,
it
but
can, I'll get better at
no,
it. I'll get
it
better
doesn't
at it.
matter. It just, who
It
cares
doesn't
if,
matter. I agree.
yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like, when are we all going to take a hip hop class together?
Right. Yeah. But it made
Right?
me think about flamenco. What do I love about it? It's I think, and maybe I will offend anybody who's an expert in it, but I think it's a kind of street dance. To be honest with you, it's very improvisational. People do it, maybe, I mean, they can do it on the street, but they do it in social settings, impromptu, and it's like you're moved to express yourself, and it's not necessarily, I mean, you can have big rehearsed performances and things like that on big stages, but it's a kind of a community thing that's done in small, like bars and gatherings in people's homes. And so I think in a sense it's like that too. So I don't know, I got a lot of nice personal connections out of this too.
You know, the best thing about one of the best things about dances is like you can literally dance to anything. There's a girl at our studio
Yeah.
right now that is dancing to spoken word. It's gorgeous. It's just someone
Wow.
talking. She's dancing to it. It's
That's
beautiful.
amazing.
But
Huh.
for me, and my personal connection with dance is I love music and I love all kinds of music. If you follow us on Instagram, you know, like I'm always putting stories with like all different genres of music. I love music, and I think the most important part in the relationship you have with music and dance is how the sound and the music moves you and how that makes you feel inside, coming out. And for me, what I have always loved about J-Hope, and especially watching this documentary, is when the music starts, you see it in his face. You immediately see it in his face. He becomes the music. He becomes whatever the music is making him feel. And you can watch other bands, you can watch BTS videos of them dancing and whatever. I mean, they're gorgeous. They do gorgeous numbers. They do gorgeous dance. They do gorgeous things on the stage. But when you watch them do it, doesn't matter what member, doesn't matter who it is, watch the way they change, their face changes as they're doing the dance, as they connect with the music. And I think that for anybody who thinks they can't dance or doesn't move their body because they think they're awkward,
Yeah.
just feel the music. If the
Right,
music moves
exactly.
you, move. And that's like one of the best things. Like we've went to PTD and then we went to see August D. Like people were moving recklessly with abandon. Like just the music moved them in a way that their emotion came out. And that's what I really love about music, and it's what I really love about dance, and it is what I really
Yeah.
love about J-Hope, because I think J-Hope really reminds us that like it's part of you. It becomes part of you. The music becomes part of you, and then the movement becomes part of you, and that's how you're expressing how you feel about the music. And so like for anybody listening who's like, "Oh, I'm so awkward and I can't," just feel the music. Dance in your car. Like, if that's the only place you feel
Yeah.
comfortable dancing, dance in your car. I do. Like,
Yeah.
if you see
Yeah.
me drive down the street ever, I'm dancing in my car. So,
It's the
like,
whole like dance like nobody's watching thing.
yes. And, but I think that's what's important. And I think that really comes out in these episodes is that he's dancing the street. I was watching one where he was in Paris. And, like, I don't know if they talked to this woman or not. There's a woman standing in the background,
I know.
phone out, just
Yeah, totally.
recording. And I'm thinking, does she know who that is? Or was she just walking by and like, oh my God, look at that. That's amazing. I'm gonna get that on camera. Like, we won't know. They didn't say like,
Yeah,
oh,
he
she
had his
knows.
face all wrapped
But
up, so it could have been the latter.
yeah, so I
Yeah, I
mean,
mean, they just look so great.
I looked at it and I thought, wow, I wonder if this woman was walking by and was like, that's amazing. I didn't know people could move their body like that. Let me get it on video so I can show my friends. And then not know, like later she's like, hey, do you know you're in documentary? So I just, that's what I love about this expression from J-Hope is that it just, it excites people, but I hope it also motivates people in a way that they go, guess what? I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to dance anyway. I'm going to take that next.
Exactly.
I'm
That's
going to
kind
move
of
my
where I'm
body
at
anyway.
with it. Like, I decided not to worry about it anymore. And one of the things that I've learned from watching my students in my job, and also from watching him and other members of BTS, and is that it reminds me that if you just keep with something, you'll get better at it. Because I, had perfectionistic tendencies anyway. And like in our generation, it was often like you're either good at something or you're not good at something. I don't think the mindset, growth mindset wasn't a thing yet. So learning that has been really helpful.
Does anyone have a favorite song from the new release?
All
The
of
whole
them.
album is so good. I love it so much. It really is.
My
It really
favorite
is.
keeps changing. It changes from day to day.
I just
Often I'll have
love,
a clear one emerge, but it hasn't happened this time.
yeah, I just am really loving What If because it's like a dance remix and it's like so smooth. Like it's so smooth. It still has like him, like the kind of like headbanger part to it, but like the rest of it's so smooth. And I just still can't get over the end where he's like, can I do that shit?
I
Yes,
know the way he
J-Hope,
says
you
it,
fucking can.
with
Like
that
do it
gravelly voice.
every
Oh my
time.
God.
Yeah, I love it. That and then I put it in stories. Maybe you caught it, maybe you didn't, but the song I Don't Know and the song All Night, BTS Juice WRLD, those are sisters with different daddies.
Yeah, you're right. You're
I
right.
listened to that song and I was like, J-Hope, what are you trying to tell us here? Because it's not your normal, it's not your sunshines, okay? This is like in the sheets music, okay? So like I was really proud of him. He went out on a limb a little bit. You know, you listen to those lyrics, you're like, okay. So yeah, I did. I put that in stories and people thought that was funny. So I was like,
That's
yes, but
also
they
cute.
are. They're related. They just have different daddies.
I hear you, man. I hear you. Yeah, her voice is amazing. Yunjin's voice. Wow, I was blown away. And the fact that she started as a BTS Army fangirl and then worked her way up to this is just, hats off. That's so great. I'm so happy for her. She sounds incredible. Yeah, incredible. It's a beautiful album, full of all kinds of autobiographical moments and homage to different types of dance and different musical genres, and it's just so good.
So I'm going to throw out a question. What do you think volume two is going to be?
I can't, I often will try to predict what he's going to do next, and I gotta say that I have absolutely no idea. Zero. I mean, like, I think whatever I could think is going to happen is it's going to be completely different. I don't know. What do you think?
I'm not sure because I'm thinking about okay, volume one means that we've like set a stage. So that's like that. So this is where like I'm just gonna speculate because I guess apparently I'm
Go
very
for it.
bad
Why
at
not?
speculating.
Go for it. Yeah, I
Like
usually do too, but I'm stumped
if
on this one.
we're thinking about like the foundations and the roots being really here, then I'm curious, is the second going to be like the net? Like, I'm wondering, like, are we gonna do volume two, volume three, like past, present, future? Like, are we doing something like that? Or are we gonna do straight volume two, moving into like, here's where I was, here's what I see moving forward? Like, I feel like it's gonna be something along the lines of the passing of time, either to the present or to the future, is my guess, just because I feel like this felt very nostalgic and foundational, but not in a trite way. Like I've tried to really
No,
explain it,
very
but like I feel
meaningful,
like a very meaningful way. Yeah.
His favorite word, meaningful.
But then seeing like But then I'm like, how can it? I also am curious if he has those right now too, because again, we know that he likes to plan ahead.
He
But I
has
will
the
also say
6 month plan.
he does.
He knows what he's
And
gonna do.
so that's where I'm also like, is that really it? Because my thought would be then that doesn't make any sense, given there's no way you can project your present and future going through such a transformative experience
Right.
like
I
this.
think it's gonna be more about pushing musical boundaries, maybe. If I had
Like
to guess,
like
I'd say
music
that.
genres, like playing
Yeah,
around with different.
just kind of just pushing the line, because the kinds of stuff he's been using some classics, but he's also been doing some in the soundtrack. He's been including some kind of more experimental electronic music, different kinds of house, blending genres with jazz and R&B, house, electronic music. I just wouldn't be surprised if that's what part two is about, is pushing genres like that and going
And
into
I
some new
like making
territory.
speculation so we can go
Yeah.
back and look and be like,
Yeah.
oh my God, you
Yeah.
were
Let's do it. Let's
so
revisit it
wrong,
later. Right.
or
And we
we
will
got
be,
it.
because he always surprises. Yeah, they always do.
I'm always wrong. But I will say
Me
about this
too.
album, I speculate and then I'm always wrong. It's like,
Me
oh,
too.
it's
I'm
gonna be
always
this, and
wrong.
it's like never that.
I was even wrong about the
But
merch, even though they showed merch in the video, and I was like, oh, look at the sweatshirt, and they didn't have the sweatshirt.
but I what I love about this, what I love about this volume one is that we got his vocals, which I've been begging because
Oh,
we all know
yes.
he's
Thank you,
got
Megan.
great
Yes.
vocals. Okay. And
Good,
like,
good.
Lock Unlock. Oh, please stop it right
Oh,
now.
that
Like, it's such a,
falsetto. Oh!
I don't understand how this is not a TikTok trend, how there's not a dance trend
Right.
to it. Like,
Thank you.
I don't know what's happening. It is a great dance track. Okay.
Yeah.
But we did get this real heavy, not heavy. I shouldn't say heavy. We got some vocals from him. We got a
Yeah.
little bit of a remix. We got some vocals. We got I Wonder, which was like everybody's little baby because baby JK was on it. And
Yeah,
everyone was
yeah.
like, oh my God, they're back
It's
together. And
still a little restrained.
yeah.
It's not, he's not all out vocals, and I still feel like that's
No.
in his future somewhere.
Yes. And
Yeah.
then, we get the track with Neuron. Great. It's fantastic. My curiosity is, and my hope is that we're going to get a hip hop album from him. We're going to get a rap. We're going to get straight rap. And he's going to have some heavy hitter collaborators, which I would love because, listen, I need him on these hip hop, like on like Billboard hip hop. I
Yeah.
need him on these charts because I can't tell you, I don't understand how he's not. I was listening to Disease the other day.
Yeah.
Y'all, what is
Yeah.
he doing with his voice? The way he,
Yeah.
the sounds he makes? What I don't understand. So like, yes, great. I'm gonna speculate. I need a big ass rap track. Like I just need it. I need you to drop it thick and
Yeah.
heavy.
He'll do it. Even if it's not the next one, it'll be the one after that or something. He'll do it.
Just get,
Yeah.
that's what I
He's got
want.
hip up in his
I want,
bones.
I
Yeah.
like, great. I said I wanted some vocal line, babe, you delivered.
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna need some rap line. You pepper
Right.
that shit in there. That's what I want, okay?
Yeah.
Like, let's do it.
Yeah. Can't wait. Oh.
Before I forget, I was watching when they're in the restaurant in the Pop
Yeah.
and Lock one. Did you guys notice the advertisements in the restaurant?
What were they?
IU's in the background. There's a
Oh,
picture of
cute.
IU on like a poster in the background for an ad, and then on like the water, it's Park Seo-joon. It's so
Oh,
funny. If you go
that's
back and
right.
look, I watched
I
it
think I remember
twice
seeing that.
to
Yeah,
make it.
you're
I was
right.
like, wait a minute. That
It's
actually looks familiar
all
on the water. And then I
connected.
was like, oh my gosh, that's fantastic. I just
It's
love that. That was so
all
funny.
connected. Honestly, I was observing that with the as I've been going through the unofficial soundtrack of the documentary and looking at all the songs and who's on them. It is all interconnected. All these people have all worked with each other, and it's all just connected out like little neurons all throughout the world. It's incredible. You can see all the web of connection through all the musicians and songwriters. It's really cool. And for people who don't know, there's a couple of other little trivia things, and I won't think of all of them here, but one of them is that from the locking episode in Seoul, Lock Woong was the DJ at Hobi's listening party. Boogaloo was his teacher when he was a trainee. What else? The others that he's dancing with are more like idols that he's respected that he wanted to work with. But those two people in particular are people he's pretty closely connected to. And one thing I'm going to post about tomorrow, so it'll be, I'll share it on the stories, is that Jimbo the Super Freak, who did those really beautiful vocals in the What If remix, was is a really prolific songwriter throughout the Korean hip hop and pop music industry. And he has worked with so many names you would recognize, but he wrote Pied Piper. Oh my God, he wrote Pied Piper. I couldn't believe it. He's like the main one or two songwriters on Pied Piper. Holy crap. And he was also one of the main collaborators with Hobi on Chicken Noodle Soup. So they go way back. I had never heard of him before. I never paid attention.
He really had our number, didn't he? When he
He
wrote that song,
did.
when he wrote Pied Piper, he really knew what he was talking
So
about.
when you hear that pretty voice and What If, just go, that's the man that gave us Pied Piper. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Jimbo.
I liked
Anything?
hearing about just his approach to the craft of just art itself and like the little conversations he had with the dancer in Paris, and it's just like, do you ever get stuck? Do you ever, don't know what to do and feel like you're just ran out of creative juices? And he was like, yeah, of course. And I just imagine like how, so much of J-Hope's career over the past 10 years has been, dictated by all of BTS and the force that is BTS. And so I can just imagine like coming out of that. And then, like you were talking about earlier, Leah, of like, okay, now what? Now how do I find myself? And to hear an artist that you respect and, in that world be like, oh yeah, that happens. You just roll with it. You just keep going. And just, I loved those little insights that we got throughout these episodes. And this is a total aside, but can you imagine how healing it would be to have J-Hope walk into a room and like hear that laugh and get so excited to see you? It didn't matter who he was walking into a room to see. Like,
My
he's just like
gosh.
laughing and just so excited to be in their presence and was so just like, I was just like, every time he walked into a room and met somebody new, I was like, oh, look at another
I
piece of my
wish.
heart is healed.
They must have been so enchanted, because he melted them. Like, there's these kind of tough guys, kind of, older and seasoned and kind of tough and been around the industry for a long time, and you can just see them kind of getting enchanted by him. Yeah, that I love that part when he's in Paris and he's meeting Yuks and Hawks and they're starting to practice, and he's in the black outfit with the little cap on that has the little tassels, and he just starts spinning and giggling. God, it's so lovely.
I was going to say, I watch a reel today from D-Day, and it's when Yoongi's like yelling "shoe ball," like it's like a whole compilation of him just yelling "shoe ball," which is like fantastic. But there was one part in particular where the clip is him yelling. He says something like "let's fucking go" or something, but in Korean, so it's like "shoe ball something." And they show from behind Jin and J-Hope when they were there, and the way J-Hope laughs and full completely folds in on himself, like his whole body just does this thing. It's the best thing, because I could hear his laugh. I can't hear his laugh, but I, by looking at his body, I could hear his
You
laugh,
know
which
exactly
is
what it sounds like.
perfect. Yes.
He and Jimin both do that. I wonder if that's a dancer thing, maybe, that you just kind of laugh with your whole body. Or if you just live that, if you embody, literally embody yourself that much, maybe that's something that comes with that. That's beautiful. Anything anybody wants to get off their chest as we wind down? Anything for the good of the order, as they say in meetings?
I just,
Why is that like a thing everyone says in
I
meetings?
know, I don't
Let
know.
unburden yourself. I will
No, it
unburden
must be
myself
a
for the good
Robert's
of the
Rules
order. Yeah,
thing.
for the
I
good
bet
of the
it's a
order.
Robert's Rules.
Okay, because maybe it's just in higher ed. I don't know. But like when you said that, I'm like, oh my gosh, like every meeting
It's
ends like
so,
that.
I think it's Robert's Rules for
I
sure.
was just gonna say that I would love to be at any event where when I go backstage and I go into the green room backstage and Jimin's just there topless. That's it. That's it. We got the Bangtan bomb. And like, I just don't understand. I get it. I mean, I get it. But also, what was the reason? Because then they show him later, he's not wearing anything different. I just need someone to answer the question. I'll never know. It's fine. But like,
I have a speculation. If you
okay,
want.
Good. Because it's driving me crazy. Because I'm like, if I just go backstage, like if he was backstage waiting for me after I did whatever talking event I would do, because I don't do anything else but talk, is he going to be back there just like, hey, I'm going to eat some Dunkin' Donuts with my shirt off? I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering.
So I think that my speculation on the shirtless Jimin, because at first I was like, maybe he spilled a drink, but his clothes, we see him leave later and it's fine. And it's only speculation because Taehyung stays in a jumpsuit, much like he is a character in like the Royal Tenenbaums. Remember like how little kids and Ben Stiller like all wore the jumpsuits? But it seemed really hot there. Like that was the night like Yoongi was dripping sweat on the stage and just kept saying like, oh my gosh, it's so hot. It's so hot. And so I was just wondering if he got backstage and was like, they always have those fans. And somebody just like held his shirt up to fan. He fanned those, like, you know, he just fanned himself down and got a little cool. And that was my speculation, was maybe, you know, I mean, I would have been dripping sweat on a good day seeing Yoongi, but like just going,
I mean, I think
into,
we
like,
were. Yeah, and it was freezing in Oakland.
In the arena when it was, yeah, the middle of August, I bet it got fairly warm. And so that was my speculation, was, you know, he just got a little perspiry. And he had some, he had the BTS, the HYBE army come in and use their little electric handheld fans and cool him down.
I just love too, in that same Bangtan bomb, that while Yoongi is singing BTS rap line songs, Taehyung is rapping all of them. Somebody give that man a rap song.
Please, okay. He must be so frustrated. He has so much rap that he needs
There's
to get out of
him. There's
this
old clip. There's this old clip of, it's like all the HYBE babes got together. So it's like, I think it's just, it's like TXT and BTS and maybe 17. I'm not sure, but they're all taking pictures together. It's like for some like HYBE thing. And Namjoon's sitting next to Youngjin from TXT. And they're having a conversation. Like V is like sitting kind of next to them. And Namjoon and Youngjin are talking and he's like, yeah, like I should put you on a track because you can rap. And Taehyung's face is like, are you kidding me right now? Am I not here?
My chopped liver.
What is happening? It is so funny. If I find it, I'll share it. I've only seen it a couple times. It comes up every once in a while, but it is hilarious. And everyone in the comments is like, help him. He has been fighting for his place for years. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, definitely. Please put him out of his misery. I love this.
Well, I think a bunch of us, are all of us seeing the movie? The new D-Day Seoul movie?
Yeah, so I can't wait.
I was counting today. I think this will be, this may be my 20th time seeing the D-Day show.
Whether live or on video.
Yeah.
Round of applause for Leah. Okay.
Look,
you hung in there.
I am sorry, Yoongi. I illegally streamed many concerts. I paid good hard money for many concerts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's funny to be like, I have seen the show a lot because I had taken my middle child to see the Japan movie version. And she's like, no, I'm good. And she's like, we just saw that again. I'm like, yeah. The thing is, it's just never enough. So I'm taking another kid tomorrow to go see it.
Okay. So we're out shopping for prom dresses, side note, but at one of the dress shops, they were showing the Eras Tour on their TV. They were streaming it. And I was talking to the gal that was working the desk and she was sitting by it. And I was like, oh, did you go see it in the theater? And she was like, no, I don't know. I just like, I always thought that like seeing a concert in the theater was kind of lame. And I was like, listen, so did I. And then I went to go see Yet to Come Busan from BTS. And let me, it's a whole event because it's the same energy as a concert. and there's other people there enjoying it just like you are. I said, and Eras was like that. I took my girls to see Eras and it was great. Like, we were in the theater and everyone was having a good time. And that's kind of how I feel about this. Like, we've all seen this concert multiple times, but not with the same people. And that's what makes it special, because you're going to go into this theater and there's going to be other people there that are watching it for different reasons. Either they couldn't go, or they've already seen it 10 times and they want to see it again. And I just think that's really beautiful. And I love that about, like, I didn't have that experience prior to K-pop. Like, I never went and watched a concert on a, like, on a screen anywhere, or like in a movie theater. And I think that's what's really cool, is like, you get to go and have this experience. And while it's not live, it is kind of amazing in the same way. You're like with a bunch of people and you all have the same mindset and you're all excited and dancing and yelling and screaming and Yoongi, marry me, you know, like, it's gonna be great.
I imagine it'll be very Midwestern in Nebraska and nobody will be dancing or cheering or being like, everybody is very quiet in the showings that I've been to, and that's okay.
I've only been once in Kansas City, but it was like, I don't think people really got up and danced, because, you know, everybody's in their comfy recliner chairs, but, you know, everybody's got their army bomb and they're kind of getting into it, you know, but still in the recliner chairs.
I saw a video of Leah going absolutely feral for Yoongi during Yet to Come when I was recording it as it was playing. And I was like, I promise you, I won't ever share that to anyone with you.
That sounds awesome.
Leah was like, yes!
Can't wait, man. Cannot wait.
All right. Well, this was a fun chat.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I feel unburdened about up on the street.
You were suffering the worst.
I was really bottled up about this. Yeah. And I feel like it's late at night and it's been a long year. So I didn't really fully express how I feel about this, but we got there. We can sort it out. Yes.
Yeah.
It was good to see all of you.
Thank you, too. Yeah. Yay. Thank you all so much. You're the best. All right, everybody.
Good night, Borges.
Can't get enough of BTS? Cool. Neither can we. So between shows, why don't you hop on over to @AfternoonArmy on Instagram and join the conversation. Want to support us as a newer podcast hitting the scene? Great. Share the love by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And last, but certainly not least, don't forget to check out the other pod in our network, Afternoona Delight, K-drama deep dives from 3 romance authors, with new episodes dropping every Wednesday.